I'm Marion Pallister, Chair of Pax Christi Scotland and the Justice and Peace Commissioner. I'm in Zambia just now, in a rural area outside the capital city, Lusaka. And I'm with Miriam Nairenda, who has studied food science, has worked as a chef, and is now a small farmer whose produce is almost fully organic. She and I have not only had a tour of her farm, but we've met with others who are facing a range of problems that at heart are about climate justice, and in truth, about justice more widely. Weather patterns have altered. I think you can tell me a little bit about what's just going on now, Miriam.
Okay. What's happening now, it's you're farming and you're planting seeds and you expect seeds to germinate within 3 to 4 days. But it takes longer because of the weather pattern, because when it's colder, it takes longer to germinate.
And how's that affecting you personally, not just your farm, but how are people reacting to the way that the weather is right now?
It's difficult. It's a challenge.
I think you've been taking some ginger tea.
Yeah. It's difficult because you rely on that veggie to grow within like 3 to 4 weeks so that you start selling and you have your profits there. But it takes longer than a year. You've got a setback in the production.
Yeah, so that season is slow to start. Water's a big issue. We met the other day Agnes Muero, who you told me and showed me the stream. She has to dig down 5 to 10 meters there. And this stream runs right next to her plot. Mm-hmm. But she has to do that to get water for her vegetables. So thank you for coming in to talk about this.
Okay.
Before you tell us more about your own farm, I wonder if you would explain some of Agnes's difficulties about water and her struggle against what I think you were telling me was big commercial farmers.
Yeah, okay. Agnes is right next to my farm on the other side because our farms are demarcated by a stream. So then they depend on the stream water to do their gardening. So right at this time of the year, the water is going down because we didn't have much rain, because our rainy season pattern was a bit too short, I would say.
Unusually short.
Yes. Mm. So the stream that they are using, the water runs out quickly. So now they got to dig about 10 to 15 meters deep to find water to pump, and they use the fuel pump, and they have to spend money on the fuel every day when they're pumping out that water, and they have to water like half an acre of vegetables. So every time when they're pumping out that water, in the middle of watering, the water runs out. They have to stop to water to wait for the water to rise up again, and it's a very big challenge for them, and it's frustrating, I would say.
So it not only takes a long time, but it also costs a lot of money, I imagine.
Yes, because they have to spend about 60 kwacha of fuel every day when they're watering to cater for that.
Right.
So depending on how much they have sold from their vegetables, that's where they will get the money for fuel to water their garden.
So that's cutting into their profits.
Yes.
All of the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and they've got a challenge with the market system.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps you'd like to tell me about that, because I think that's to do not just with those issues you've talked about, mm-hmm. but with who else is on the market.
So when you go to the market, you're competing against big farmers, commercial farmers. They plant vegetables on a huge space, and they want to compete with us who are doing just half an acre of vegetables at the market. So you are expecting the price to be higher. When you take your vegetables, let's say you've got 3 bags, and you'd find a commercial farmer there, he's got hundreds of bags. So because a commercial farmer has got a lot, he wants to sell and get rid of it just there and then in one day. So they have no choice but to reduce the price. So if, say, a 50 kg bag of vegetables, you anticipated it to go at 100 kwacha, You find because the market is flooded with vegetables, they'll sell it less, maybe at 60 or 50 kwacha. Then you've carried the 3 bags of vegetables. You end up even selling at less because you also want to get rid of those 3 bags. So you end up selling maybe at 45. So that is way just a loss. And putting the input that you've put in your vegetables, just from buying the seed, the organic manure you have to put, the fuel, like for Agnes...
with her water.
Yeah, with her water. She has to buy the fuel to pump the water to water her vegetables. Then you come back from the market with less than what you expected. So you find your profit is just, maybe just there. Just little bit, because you have to cut out for transport costs to take to the market and labor costs, and you have to feed your family just from there.
Yes.
So it's quite a challenge.
Miriam's fingers at that point, her finger and thumb were almost meeting. That's where the profit is.
Yeah.
Just practically zero.
Zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that she mentioned that if she were to try to leave those bags at the market and try and sell them the next day, she would have to pay
for storage.
For storage,
yes.
To the market people.
Yes.
And that you have to pay obviously for a market stall anyway.
Yes, you have to pay for the market storage when you leave your stuff. You aren't betting to think maybe tomorrow will be better. Maybe the price will rise. So let me leave them behind, then come back tomorrow again and sell. So you have to pay for the storage and the market levy for your space where you're selling from. And everything in that market is costly. For you to use a toilet, you got to pay something. The space that you're selling on from, you have to pay market levy every day. It doesn't matter whether yesterday you sold or today you're going to sell, you have just to pay. So those are the costs that they incur every time they go to the market.
Miriam, I don't think that there was a space between your thumb and your finger. I think that we're right together. I think profit is just non-existent.
Nothing. Yeah. So every time you have to look for money to reboost the business. Every time. Just like that.
And I think that one of the saddest things that Agnes was telling me was that she feels at the moment, and you can tell me why she has to do this, but the only thing that she can do is move on from that half an acre, whatever it is that she's got, and start all over again somewhere else looking for water. Can you explain a little bit about that, and is that happening a lot to people?
Yes, of course, due to the, I would say, the climate change, because everyone depends so much on that stream, and because people are coming in cutting down trees and the stream is getting dry, so they are forced to move further away from their spaces. And that is, they are not moving to their own places. They are going to rent a piece of land where there's a stream which runs throughout the year for them to make just a small farming, to have a small business for them. So everyone is affected and everyone has to move eventually.
So the figures that we hear about people migrating around the world, but here in particular, people are just being forced to move on and move on and move on. Is that basically what's happening?
Yes, it is. It's happening very much. Because you can't just sit at one point where you're doing nothing. Because mainly in Zambia, most people, rural people, they depend on farming.
Yes.
And if you can't farm, you can't produce anything for you to eat and sell and feed your family, you have no choice but to move further away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Zambia is a landlocked country in sub-Saharan Africa. It, I think, used to be part of the sort of breadbasket of Africa, and now that's very much changed, that people are struggling even to produce anything, let alone be exporting elsewhere. I think that even the export of maize was stopped because of food security. Is that right?
Yes, it was. Because mostly in Zambia we depend on the rainfall. So we have good rainfall, we have good produce, and we have food on the market, and our basket will be full definitely. Now, depending on the rainfall pattern, if it's not even, then we'll have a problem. Like we experienced floods in some areas of the country. So which means there's no food in those areas where it was flooded.
Because
people have to just depend on government relief food for them to eat. So mainly in Zambia, we depend on the rain, good rain pattern for us to farm and have food.
So you have good rain patterns and bad rain patterns.
Yes.
So if it's good rain patterns, everything is okay, but bad rain patterns could be either that it's so dry, nothing grows, or so wet that crops are swept away. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Because once it's flooded, your fields are flooded up to the max.
Mm.
All the crops are swept away. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Now, you, I think, have also considered moving on. Tell me a little bit about your own situation and what your plans are.
Okay, in my case, on my farm, I have a borehole, but that borehole depends on electricity to pump water, and the electricity tariffs are like way too high. For me, a small farmer, to pump water and water my garden, I have to have maybe a 2,000 kwacha or so more per month for me just to water 1 acre of a garden. And like before then, we used to maybe to use about 500 kwacha, but now it has gone times three of the cost of electricity to water a garden. So even me, when I plant my vegetables, I take them to the market. I experience the same setback where I have to compete with big farmers. And when I come back, I can't buy more electricity to water my garden. My crops will end up getting dry because of the cost of electricity now in Zambia.
It's a very, very sad situation.
Yeah. Like you asked me about moving away.
Yeah.
Because our land here now, it's been occupied mostly by factories, which are owned by the Chinese people.
Right.
They're coming in and enclosing up on us. So eventually in the future, we'll be forced to move away.
Yeah, because I think you said when we visited your farm that you felt you were kind of being encircled by the Chinese with the factories and so on.
Yes, because they're everywhere now. They're coming in buying farms from people, especially those who are along the roadside. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are in the middle now who have no choice will be surrounded. So eventually we have no choice but to move away.
So this moving is horrendous. And I've heard from, I know that you had chickens. I've heard from another farmer in the area that she's given up on chickens because there was no profit against those commercial farmers.
Yeah.
And I think they're Chinese as well in the main, is that right? So the sort of industrial farmers, the big guys, they are, I think they're producing chickens that are much bigger because they're using all sorts of chemicals and so on. Yeah. So does that makes it?
Yeah, on the chicken part, there's stiff competition. Because you find that you're competing with big farmers. Chinese are in there in the market of production of chicken. So you find you who wants to produce chicken on a normal basis, feed them on the normal feed and everything. You put in so much just to grow the chicken to reach up to 6 weeks. But you find our friends are growing their chicken, they raise them up to 4 weeks, they're ready. And they take them to the market. People go, especially, they buy with their eyes. You can't convince them to say, no, that just looks big, but it's not tasty, it's not produced in the right way. But you have no choice but just to fight and fight. So in my case, I'd rather just choose just a few individuals who want to eat proper food and who knows that, okay, when I buy chickens from there, I know they are normally and perfectly kept, meaning they are fed on proper feed without any chemicals involved. Like organic chickens almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. You take your chickens to the market, you have to compete with the big chickens. I don't know what they feed them on. It's a struggle. You find instead of selling your chickens at 6 weeks, you have to go into seven, eight weeks, and which means you have to keep on feeding them, and you're going into a loss because they're feeding on your profits now.
Listening to you and hearing all of these problems makes me as angry as you, because I feel that governments who have made lots of promises need to act very quickly. The young people in Zambia marked Earth Day by planting trees. So we can only hope that governments will listen to those young people and to Miriam and Agnes and all those who are being squeezed out of their farms by climate change and what Pope Francis calls economic colonization. So let's pray for climate justice to be seen and done. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.